Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today, we are discussing the topic of three personal multifamily journeys. And I'm so excited to have joining me in the studio three longtime multifamily industry veterans and Houston apartment industry icons: Eileen Sabisky, Director of Property Management with Barvin; Sue Ann Tinsley, partner with Dayrise Residential; and Jerry Winograd, President of Jedwin Properties. Thank you guys for coming in today. I want to start the conversation just kind of asking each of you to share with our listeners your personal journey of how you started in multifamily. Everybody starts from a different place, and even though you guys kind of ended up on the same track as far as your what you've achieved with your being president of associations and Hall of Fame members and so forth, you all started someplace different. So, Eileen, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about your journey?
I had moved from New York to Jacksonville, Florida, and was looking for an apartment. When I walked in the front door of this brand new under construction apartment community, a gentleman was on the phone, told me to sit down and fill out an application. After 10 minutes, he got off the phone and said, "Why aren't you filling out the application?" I said, "Well, I was here to see an apartment." He said, "Oh, okay, well, I'll show you around." And we spent approximately 45 minutes together, and I got a call that evening at the hotel where we were staying, and he asked me if I would consider accepting a position in the apartment industry. I said I knew nothing about the industry other than that I had grown up in an apartment in New York. He said, "I can teach you anything that you need to know, but you're the only person out of the 15 that I've interviewed that I felt a kinship that could actually do the job." Since he was willing to pay more than the elementary school position that I was going to take, I jumped at the opportunity. And 50 years later, I have never regretted it for one moment.
So did you know you were being interviewed?
No, I did not. I did not.
That's pretty wild. You go in to rent an apartment, it was really an interview. Or at least he was interviewing other people and threw your name in the hat.
Yes. Yes.
Sue Ann, tell us a little bit about how you got started.
I was teaching school in Norman, Oklahoma, and one of my best friends from college had gone to work for an apartment developer, and she called me up and told me that they were interviewing, and I went, interviewed, and got the job and never looked back. It was for a developer in Norman, and so I've spent my career working with developers and redevelopers, and have loved both parts of the business a lot. But I moved to Houston in 1985. I didn't realize there was an oil bust. And I had to learn a lot, but it really, really helped me cut my teeth in the industry to be here, knowing that all of my competitors were 60% occupied, and how could I get to 95? And it's all about customer service. I learned that early on. And as Eileen said, I have not regretted one minute of this industry.
And so how did you end up getting to Houston? What was
my
the reason?
My vice president of the company that I was working with, I had transferred to Tulsa, and he took a job with the company based out of New York and called me up and said he wanted to hire me at that company. And I told him no, I had no interest in moving to Houston, but he offered a free two-bedroom apartment to pay my utilities, and I would make commissions, and I was here in 2 weeks.
There's a person in the industry that we all know. She's been on the show before, and when she was telling her story, very similar. She was finishing up school, at college, and had no intention of being in the industry. Took a part-time job on the weekend as a leasing agent, and she got a three-bedroom apartment, which she leased out two of the bedrooms to friends of hers for $250 each. So she was making $500 a month plus whatever she was getting in her commission. So it's not an uncommon story. But Eileen, before we get to Jerry, how did you end up in Houston?
I job transferred with a company called Johnstown. Mm-hmm. They were one of the leaders back in the 60s because they were basing their reputation on educating their employees. And they had what they called the Johnstown American School. And they went through training leasing people and assistant managers and managers. And they had a large school for maintenance personnel. And this was cutting edge back in the 1970s and even into the 80s.
Right.
And I transferred with them from Jacksonville, Florida to Houston. And then stayed with that company for 2 years after my transfer. And then joined Land Benson Interests as a vice president. 2 years later became president of LBI Management and stayed with that company for 13 years. And they went through a transition and sold. After that, I went to work for Intercapital Properties Company, which is where Sue Ann and I first worked together.
Hmm. Yes.
After that, I went to work for Archon that managed all of the Goldman Sachs investments and stayed with them until we sold the entire portfolio that Goldman had at the time in Houston. We had achieved their 2001 revenue goals by 1999, and mm-hmm. they thought it's time to sell. Well, I did such a good job, I worked myself out of the job. Then went to work for Michael Stevens and spent 13 years working with him and retired, thought I had completed my career. And then last year was approached by Eric Barvin, and I thought I had one more startup management company in my blood, and went back to work the beginning of this year for him, starting up Barvin.
Okay, great. Jerry, we got a few minutes left in this segment, and we can go over if we need to. So tell us about how you got your start in the industry. You've got a different story.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on the show this morning. I was fortunate to grow up in a family that was in the apartment business, and from a very early age, I would get to do things and see things in the industry. My father would take me around to different meetings when I was 6 and 7 and 8, and I would meet people at this young age. And at the age of 10, I was working pretty much every day after school and over the summers. And every year I would get to take on a different responsibility during the summer and take on a different position. And I did that all through high school and went off to college. And I just knew from day one that I wanted to work in the industry, that that's exactly what I wanted to do. And after college, which was in the mid-80s, my parents were like, stay in school. It's really bad in Houston. You may not want to come back right now. And my thought was, I might as well come back when it's really such a terrible time, because there's so much more to learn during the bad times. Although coming back to work every day, I was wondering, what did I get myself into? But that basically was the start of my career in the industry. It was in the mid-80s and learned through some very difficult times that Houston was going through.
And your father really was a pioneer in the industry, but he was actually a physician, wasn't he?
He was a physician, and in the early 60s, he kept thinking if something happened to him as a physician, how could he make a living? So he thought a good way would be able to create some rental income by building an apartment complex. So he had started out, he built a 30-unit complex, and he had so much fun with that. He bought the land across the street and built 54 units, then bought the land across the street and built 54 units. And it got to the point in the early 70s where he made the decision to give up medicine and go full-time into apartment development.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big change for someone to make, and the amount of time and effort that someone takes to become a physician, to give that up, he must have really enjoyed what he was doing.
Well, he did. He really enjoyed being a physician, but he always said he really enjoyed leaving the practice also, because that's at the time everything was changing with insurance companies and it was just becoming more difficult to be a physician. And yeah, thought it was a good time to make the change.
We've got about 30 seconds left. So, Anne, one of the things that, I've seen in this industry is, like Eileen said, that's when you and she first worked together, was, you know, years ago. How small of a world it is in this market where people work together?
That's a great question. We have such a large industry. Recently, on the cover of our Units magazine, our National Apartment Association, it referred to the billions and billions of dollars that we contribute to the economy. But all of that aside, it's a very small network, especially when you have been with colleagues and you have volunteered through the apartment associations. We have all developed long-term friendships. I can reach out to Eileen or Jerry and ask them a question, ask them for advice, and I know that I'm going to get it. And it's just, it's a small industry, but we're all pretty close.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of three personal multifamily journeys. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are three longtime multifamily industry veterans and Houston apartment industry icons: Eileen Sabinski, Director of Property Management with Barvin; Sue Ann Tinsley, Partner with Dayrise Residential; and Jerry Winograd, President of Judwin Properties. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we were kind of talking during the break. We talked in the first segment about how everybody got to Houston and got their start in the industry. But one of the things we were talking about during the break is the fact that there's so many family members that that get into the industry together, and that one will start and it attracts other family members. And there's some instances where I've come across where they have whole families, mothers and sisters and aunts and so forth working. Sue Ann, I know you've got some family in the business.
Yes. When I was with the Finger Companies, my sister joined 28 years ago, and she worked on a brand new lease up and is currently working for Dayrise today. And that's been very exciting to see her move up the ladder and progress on a daily basis. And I'm very excited because 6 years ago, my niece Brooke was preparing to graduate from college. go OU, University of Oklahoma. And she said, Aunt Sissy, I want to follow in your footsteps. So I told her, I said, well, you know, move to Houston, and I would like for you to go to work for a company that's building. You'll meet a lot of people that are your age and that you have a lot in common with. So I referred her to Kim Small at the Morgan Group.
Yeah.
And Kim hired her on the spot. She worked there for 4 years and left to go to grad school. And as soon as she finished there, she got married this summer and then joined us August 1st. So to have two family members in the industry has meant the world to me.
Yeah. Jerry, you were mentioning a story where you went to a property and ran into some folks.
Well, just recently I was visiting someone I had met, had built a new property, so I went to go tour the property with him, and he introduced me to the manager, and we started talking, and it turns out the manager's sister works at a property we manage. So it's just a small world, and you keep finding, I mean, even with our employees, a lot of their siblings and children work in the industry. And I've been fortunate that a couple of years ago, I worked with my brother, and mm-hmm. we were trying to figure out what was going to happen in the future. We're trying to figure out 10 years what's going to happen, and we were thinking, who's going to run this company? Who's going to come along to grow into this role? And fortunately, in the last 3 years, I've had two nephews and a niece join, and that's been real exciting to have the next generation show the interest and come forward and get to work with them. And they have a lot of great ideas, so it's really going to be a lot of fun to see what happens in the future.
Yeah, Eileen, I know you've got family members in the business.
Yes, I do. My daughter is no longer in multifamily, but she is in commercial property mm-hmm. management and works with Oakleaf. Her husband, Michael, is an executive vice president at the Liberty Group and places people in the multifamily industry. Their daughter, Morgan, who is our first granddaughter, was in the industry and worked for Milestone for a number of years and switched over to the associates side and sells electricity to the multifamily communities. My son works for a company that builds apartments, and he is a regional superintendent with them. And his son works for HD Supply and is a regional manager providing parts and supplies to the apartment industry. His mom is Jackie Roan, who is a director of Graystar and is extremely well known. She's a former president of the Houston Apartment Association as well as the Texas Apartment Association.
Right. She's been on the show a couple of times too. So let's talk about when you guys got into the industry, however many years ago it was a different world then. Not just in the industry, but just in general. I mean, there was no internet, there was no cell phones and so forth. So when you started, and I know, Sam, you mentioned you wish you could go back and sometimes it would go back to the way it was. Tell us a little bit about how it looked back then as far as the way you would typically deal with leases and so forth.
Well, everything was manual, and I still think that you find some companies that are doing things manually. You find a lot of companies that have not, I shouldn't say embrace technology, they just haven't implemented it. And so I worked in a one-person office. I leased apartments, I collected rent, I managed the residents in the community. And you know, if an apartment needed to be cleaned, then I went and cleaned the apartment. And so anyway, I think that it's really changed a lot, and now we are placing more employees per every 100 units. We are trying to service our residents more. There are a lot of missed opportunities that we might have had back then that now I think we're a little more on top of. But I do know that at our company we have a lot of technology. The training to order the goods and services, the collection of the rent. We are, you know, we are very technology-based right now. So times have changed, and I've dragged my heels, but I'm joining the team on that.
Yeah. And Jerry, I know back when your dad started, I mean, there was, it was basically a ledger book and a pencil. Somebody with a visor on in the back room, tabulating all the rent back in those days. But when you got into it, when you entered it in earnest, when you got out of school, you probably had a lot of ideas and so forth.
Well, my first job right out of school was I went to a property and worked there.
Okay.
And so I remember rolling the cards when someone came in to pay rent, and we accepted rent any day of the month to make mm-hmm. it even a little more confusing. So everything was paper. We had hundreds of forms in the back office, and we needed to come up with a new way to make it better. Mm-hmm. And computers were just starting to come into play. And by going through all that, I got to work with a company to help develop a program that we used where we took all the forms and automated them. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a wonderful thing over the years. And it's gotten so much better even from what we did in the 90s. I always try to stay a step behind on technology because I want someone else to figure out the kinks and the bugs before we jump in, because while something may sound great, work it out a little bit before you deploy it. But it really has helped. But it's still the same basic business. We're right there to take care of our customers.
Right. Eileen, I know when you got into it too, it was
when
paper.
I got into it, I was using an abacus. Not quite.
Right.
But when someone walked through the door of my office, I asked myself, is this someone that I would like as a neighbor? And that was how we qualified people to move into apartments back then. We asked if they had a job. We asked if they were currently living in an apartment so we could potentially check a reference. But everything was based on trust and gut instinct, which was good, but in some cases, not so good. And fortunately today, we do have more consistent means of screening applicants for residency. We recently implemented a program where someone comes in with a photo ID and it's scanned. And it tells us immediately whether that is a valid ID or not. Unfortunately, there's a lot of fraud going on with people who are saying that they are someone who they're not. And this is one way that we are attempting to eliminate the fraud on the front end. It's also definitely a safety precaution for our people who are going out on site with a total stranger taking them into a vacant apartment and hoping they're who they say they are.
Right.
And that they have honest intentions. I think, the biggest change is the technology and, of course, the continuing education to bring our people up to today's standards.
Right. And it's a different world out there from the standpoint of people who have nefarious intentions. And it's not like it was when you all started in the industry.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break and come back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of three personal multifamily journeys. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are three longtime multifamily industry veterans and Houston apartment industry icons, Eileen Sabinski, Director of Property Management with Barvin, Sue Ann Tinsley, a partner with Dayrise Residential, and Jerry Winograd, president of Judwin Properties. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So in the introduction of the first segment, I mentioned the fact that all three of you have kind of been on a similar track after you got your start in multifamily, because you're all three active in the Houston Apartment Association, which is the largest apartment association in the country, rising, all three of you, to the ranks of president, and then ultimately being inducted into the Houston Apartment Association Hall of Fame, which is not an easy thing to do, and it's not something that happens every year. So congratulations for that. But Eileen, I want to start with you, because you, your presidency represented the first female president of the Houston Apartment Association. And prior to that time, I know that if you go to the apartment industry offices and you look at all the photographs of everybody on the wall, there are other industry pioneers who were on that wall. Tell us a little bit about how you got into that track and ended up when you were president. What was it like at that time? And you said 1998.
When I was approached to become part of the board of HAA, my very first question to the gentleman approaching me was, do I have an opportunity to ever become president of the association? Mm-hmm. And David Onanian looked at me and said, well, I don't see why not. And I responded, David, there's never been a woman president. But I'm telling you that my interest is going to be limited in joining the board if I have no future. He came back the next day and said, you have a future. Please join our board. I did. It was intimidating because there were times that I was the only woman at the board of directors meeting, other than Nora Krakauer, who represented the supplier side of the industry. That has changed dramatically over the years. I would like to think that part of my legacy as being the first woman president of the Houston Apartment Association is that I was not the last woman president of the Apartment Association. There have been 12 others in the 20 years since I served.
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly a pioneering move for you to ask that question and to insist that you had that opportunity. I mean, that was something that probably was not thought of at that time during that. And I know, go ahead.
I can say that the day that my nomination was approved, the late and great Bill Dinnerstein happened to be sitting next to me at the board meeting and said to me, Eileen, it is long overdue, and I am just so happy that it's you. And I will cherish that statement forever.
Yes, yes. Sue Ann, she pioneered the way for you, I would imagine.
She certainly did. Eileen has meant the world to me. She has been a tremendous mentor of mine, and I was fortunate enough to work for Eileen for about 2.5 years at the Intercapital Group, and I value that time so much. And not only was she my boss, but we formed a lifelong friendship, and so that has meant the world to me.
You know, one of the things, and I want to get the story from each of you, but one of the things that I've noticed is there are a lot of large companies out there in Houston that don't allow their employees to participate in the association or discourage them at least from doing that. And from what I've been told, it's because they're afraid that someone's going to poach their employee if they show up at meetings and so forth. But that's a shame because I know all of you have employees that are involved or show up or come. And I mean, if someone's going to leave, they're going to leave.
You can't steal happy employees.
Exactly. So Jerry, tell me a little bit about your presidency when you got involved. I know while you were involved, I heard you tell a story before about Hurricane Katrina.
Right. Well, we don't get to choose which year we're president. We're asked to go on the chairs and take several years before you become president. And it just so happened Katrina hit a few months before I was installed. And that was kind of its own adventure in its own right. I don't know if you remember, but the city of Houston and HUD and FEMA all got involved. And I think we placed about 36,000 apartments for people that were pushed out of basically New Orleans and ended up in Houston. And that was a major undertaking that luckily that happened before I became the president, that there was a great committee of volunteers working on that. When I got involved, it was the process of getting everyone moved in. And then we went through the process of all the promises made to us about getting paid, where we were having meetings with the mayor probably every other week. Trying to figure out how we get paid. And we actually had to go with some other representatives to D.C. to meet with HUD, the undersecretary of HUD, to figure out how and when they're going to pay, because all the apartment operators had spent a lot of money to put people in apartments and for several months received nothing.
Yeah.
And we had several other issues happen my year. But as I say, each year we all have some special things that get to happen, and we just kind of go with the flow. And luckily, we have a great staff at the association that keeps on top of everything and a great team of volunteers. It's never just one person. It's always a team that would go in to meet and work through issues, and which is really very powerful.
I know that you mentioned that it was a tremendous undertaking. I can only imagine that the operators who had, jumped through hoops to make apartment units available for these people who were in need, have to be able to do something to be able to recoup that income, that revenue, that for the rent. And if it's a government issue, then, there's a lot of red tape.
There was quite a bit of red tape, but luckily we were able to diligently work through it, and worked out to everyone's benefit at the end.
That's great. So, Anna, let's talk a little about your presidency and what was going on when you were president, some of the things in the industry.
The year that I was president was in 2007. And we had a quiet year. There wasn't a lot going on. I know that the following year, the economy took a turn for the worse.
Right.
So I was fortunate to be inducted as president during a semi-quiet time. I loved it. I relied on the staff at HAA to guide me, for my mentors to guide me. And I just... I was just there. I enjoyed going to all the committee meetings. I tried to not miss any meeting that our association had during my presidency so that I could be there to support all of the group and each of the groups, I should say, and really, really enjoyed that. But I just let people guide me, and I didn't have any initiatives necessarily that I tried to implement. I just wanted to let the staff do their job and help me to be as effective as I could be.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, soon after your presidency was when the economy took a downturn across the country. That's a common theme in multifamily, where there's cyclical periods of boom and then periods of recession or downturns. And sometimes it can be in a specific market as opposed to nationwide. But Eileen, I know you've been doing this for long enough to see some of those cycles. What do you do? How much can you prepare for when those things happen?
Well, I think Houston probably is impacted more often and on a larger scale than many cities for several reasons. Number one, we don't have any zoning in Houston. Mm-hmm. It is a city where we encourage development, and developers don't need a whole lot of encouragement to go out there and break ground and build.
Right.
And we have overbuilt our city over and over and over again. But because we do have the basis for a healthy, thriving economy, when we build them, they do come. Mm-hmm. And so our city has grown, and we have had the apartments for people to live in when they got here to chase their dream in the city.
Right.
And we have always managed to recoup and rebound and stand on our feet again. And I just think that is the underlying spirit of Houston, that every challenge that comes along, we rally to the challenge and exceed our expectations in every way.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a break and be back with our fourth and final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of three personal multifamily journeys. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are three longtime multifamily industry veterans, Eileen Subinski, Director of Property Management with Barvin, Jerry Winograd, President of Judwin Properties, and Sue Ann Tinsley, Partner with Dayrise Residential. We've talked a little bit in the last segment about the fact that all three of you are past presidents of the Houston Apartment Association. Let's talk a little bit about the association and why you think it's different than other associations across the country. Obviously, it's the largest in the country. But my experience has been it's extremely well-run and very it creates opportunities for people to not only have education, but to have the ability to network and socialize and get to know each other to make the industry stronger. But what about you guys, Sue Ann?
Well, first and foremost, I have always commented on the fact that our industry here, our apartment association, was built by our forefathers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Harry Reid, Bill Dinnerstein, Ronnie Finger, Marvy Finger. I mean, there was a group, you know, Dr. Winograd, and there were just a group of men that founded not only our apartment association, but the Texas Apartment Association. So to have people like that come in and they were building, I mean, they were the ones that shaped our industry. And I think that they really started a great thing, obviously. It's morphed into such a powerhouse today. But, I mean, these men, like I said, they built the Houston Apartment Association. They were the foundation for the Texas Apartment Association. And I always refer back to them and their leadership, and they formed the basis of our associations.
Yeah, and Jerry, your dad was part of that.
Right, and he was. I'm fortunate. I'm the second generation past president of HAA.
Which right,
is kind of a fun little thing.
Yeah,
but we went through. You know, the 80s was kind of a tough time, and coming into the 90s, we weren't real active in the Apartment Association.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie Finger called me around 93, and said he wanted to talk to me about the Apartment Association. I said sure, and I've known Ronnie since I was a little kid. And
mm-hmm.
Said that he would like for me to consider joining the board. And we probably talked for about 15 or 20 minutes, and I finally said, you know what, I'll go ahead and get on the board. I mean, we just weren't that involved with the association at the time, because just we were trying to recover from the 80s.
Yeah, sure.
And I will tell you that I thought we were a good operator. But after joining the board and getting to meet people like Eileen, Sue Ann, and David Hargrove, Stacy Hunt, all of a sudden, my network just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And to just sit down and visit with these folks, my knowledge, I just kept learning more and more, being around these amazing people on a regular basis. And
right.
It really, I think we went from being a good operator to a great operator, because I was able to take all the knowledge of these, as a group, to learn how to do things better. And to be the president of the association is just it's an honorary position.
Right.
We're not making policies and changes. I mean, there's a business running the association. But we get to have some influence as to the direction that it goes. But it really is an honor to work for such an associate, great association with such a great staff that's so committed to taking this industry to a higher level. And I think we've kind of been the association that many others have looked at to say, how can we be like Houston?
Right.
And I think it goes all over the country that way. And there's been some great things. I've been involved in the Texas Apartment Association, National Apartment Association. And when we come together, the discussion that happens for how do we make the industry better, and a lot of times they look back to Houston to say, what are you doing in Houston? And so that's really a good feeling to know that we all had our fingers on it at some point.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you're saying. I've been contacted by associations up in the Northeast, where they're asking about some of the programs that HAA or Houston Apartment Association does, specifically for the supplier partners, and it was great to be able to say with pride, this is what we do, and they were excited to see that possibly they would have the opportunity to do something and have a successful program for their association.
And I think we're really good. The association, the AEs, get together on an annual basis, other than at our meetings, they get together on their own nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And share ideas. And it really is very powerful that we can all take the best of what everyone's doing and bring it back home to where
right.
our home is.
Right. Eileen, what about what do you think is different about the Houston Apartment Association?
They're leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think Houston has always been and will continue to be on the forefront of change in our industry, just in recognizing the fact that we have done things well for so many years, but who is the future?
Right.
The association and its members go out and we seek to bring in young blood to our association. We have next-gen programs that encourage the youth who are just getting into our industry to look at property management as a full-time, lifetime career. And the people that I see coming into our association now are definitely a step above who we were 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think looking towards the future with who is going to be running the association, we are going to continue to be the leaders throughout the country. And I have always been proud to be part of the association, but more so today than ever before. And
yeah.
I think that's only going to continue on that path.
Yeah, That's great.
And a question I receive a lot of time from when I meet with people that are just getting in the industry, they were like, how do we move up in the industry? And my advice is start out in the field. The mm-hmm. most important thing I'd have ever done is work in the field. You, mm-hmm. when you see what happens on a day-to-day basis, that'll make you a better decision maker when you're not in the field.
Right.
But as Eileen said, I think the next gen program or club at HAA has been instrumental in really helping to springboard a lot of future leaders. And it's a fairly new group. I think they've been in existence for about 5 years, Jerry. Yeah. And so anyway, I think that that has really encouraged future leadership at the association.
Okay. Well.
And we also have the Lyceum program,
right,
which is a leadership training program for younger people that have the potential to be leaders in our industry.
Yes. And I know several people have been through that program, and they can't say enough great things about it and what they were able to learn and who they're able to learn
right.
from. Let's talk just for a couple of minutes, because I want to give you all a chance to tell a little bit about each one of your companies. But let's talk for a couple of minutes about the Hall of Fame. It's not an honor that's given out every year, but each of you have been inducted into the Houston Apartment Association Hall of Fame. Tell us a little bit about what that means, Eileen.
Well, again, I was the first woman to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. It is an honor I will take to my grave.
Mm-hmm.
I consider the major accomplishments of my career, because it says this is a person who dedicated themselves and their career to our industry and did it well and is respected among her peers for it.
Yeah, that's great. Sue Ann?
It was just overwhelming to have a lunch appointment with Jeff Hall, who's our association executive, and have several Hall of Fame members there.
Hmm.
And I have to admit, when they told me the news, I got up and I ran into the restroom and cried, because I was so overwhelmed and touched by this opportunity that I had. And so it's a pretty amazing feeling to know that you have been given this honor. And it's one that, like Eileen said, that I will cherish forever.
Jerry?
I mean, it is just such an honor, and I think everything could replicate what we've just heard. But when you look at the people on the wall that have received this, and you say, wow, I'm actually
right.
approaching the level of these other individuals, that's pretty amazing. And it's just quite an honor to be involved with such a great association. And I don't know how else to describe it. It's just kind of a special
yeah.
thing for all of us. And,
yeah.
you know, and we saw each other over the years, and the dedication I think each of us had to doing what's right for the association and to carry on the good things that the association does, that it really, I think, cumulated with the Hall of Fame. And
yes.
and not every president has kind of the same outlook, but I think the three of us, I think,
yes.
have always been dedicated. And if we're asked to show up to something, we all still show up, even
yeah.
all these
yes.
years
yes.
later. And I think that's mm-hmm. really a dedication of the select few that get to make the Hall of Fame.
I also real quickly want to give a hats off to those that have employed us during this journey.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there has been tremendous support from employers. And I know that you mentioned, Paul, that a lot of employers are, you know, they're worried that their employees might be poached. So to give us that opportunity and trust to go out into the associations and to volunteer, I mean, that really speaks volumes to the people that we've worked for in the past.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I wish more employers would do that. There's quite a few that do, but I wish some of the ones that don't would reconsider, because I think it would make their employees much stronger and much more educated. And as Eileen said, you can't poach a happy employee. So let's take the last about 30 seconds each. Tell us a little bit about your companies and where your markets are and so forth. Eileen, you want to start?
I work for Barvin. It's headed up by Eric Barvin, who is an apartment owner and developer here in Houston primarily, but he also has assets in San Antonio, Dallas, and Atlanta. He will be building from the ground up his first newly constructed apartment community in the South Braeswood Still Link area next year. And Eric decided that he wanted to manage his own apartment communities and hired me this past year to start up a management company. It is a wonderful organization. He is a fabulous leader, and I am thrilled and delighted to be joined with him.
That's great. That's great. Sue Ann?
I am a partner with Dayrise Residential. We were formed 10 years ago. I have two partners, Andy Shore and Ed Biskind, who owned Intercapital Partners, and today they are our parent company. We enjoy it. I've tried to create a family atmosphere at our company, and our tagline is, we think like owners because we are owners. And the markets that we're most heavily involved in are Atlanta and Dallas. In addition to that, we are in the Phoenix markets, and we're in Chicago as well. We also have a fee portfolio that we manage that we don't have any ownership in, but it's been a very exciting 10 years, very rewarding. I'm working with a lot of people that I've worked with in the past, so it's just fun to all come back together and work with new team members and form what we have today.
That's great. And Jerry?
I'm with Judman Properties. I run the company along with my brother and an amazing staff that we get to work with every day. We basically build new suburban properties in the Houston area, and we redevelop older properties a little closer in the Houston area. That is our main focus, and try to run a nice small company and keep a family atmosphere also.
Well, thank you so much. We're out of time. This has been great, and I really appreciate you all three making the effort to be on together. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.